It's day seven of 2024 already, and I can tell you, amen, sister. Oh, my goodness. Just something interesting. I was just thinking to myself that, I don't know, you might find it weird a bit, but I absolutely love it when kids make noise sometimes. It sounds a bit strange, but... not while I'm preaching though, but I just love that chatter in the background, so that you know that yeah, something is happening in this place. But not when I'm preaching. Yeah, I just love kids running around and all that. So those are our future choir preachers. Yeah. Okay. So if they're making noise this morning, please just ignore them and bear with them. You know, they're just part of the whole thing as well. So, I'm starting a new series today. And as a church, what we normally do is we just don't pick topics at random. We don't go to the Bible and just, if you have like a Bible, and just scroll through the pages, and anyway, it stops. That's where I'm going to preach from. No, we don't do that. What we do is to try and get a sense of what God is telling us as a church. It might be different from what God's telling the church down the road. But what we want to do is to ensure that we are really saying what God is saying to us as a church for the month and for the season. Amen. So we're starting a new series, and I've called that new series, How Did I Get Here? How did I get here? So we're going to be looking at a number of things this morning. But primarily speaking, this topic that I'm taking this month is talking about vision. Vision. Now, when people say to me vision, or I hear people talking about vision, to me it sounds like really complicated. It's like something that Asda or Co-op or one of these big companies do. And they're like, we're going to have a vision for the company. We're going to have a vision. But I'm not talking about vision in a complicated sense. I'm talking about vision as it relates to you as an individual. So I got a definition of vision here, which I think will sum up the simplicity of it. So it says, vision is the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. I'll say that again. Vision is the ability to think about or to plan the future with imagination or wisdom. So basically, what vision is you sitting down and thinking or imagining, what do I want my life to look like this year? What are the things that I would like to see? For some people, it might be, well, I want to go to the gym and lose weight. I was telling a couple of people that this Christmas that passed, when I ate so much, and the excuse that I gave myself was that, you know what, Pastor B, go ahead. Once you're done, you can go back to the gym and burn off the fat. So my daughter was asking me yesterday, so Dad, when are you going back to the gym? And I looked left and I looked right, and I said Monday. But I didn't say which Monday actually. I said Monday. So I'm sure I'm gonna get asked that question again. Yeah. So I said Monday. So I didn't say which Monday exactly. So, like I was saying, vision is you just imagining what you'd like to do or thinking about what you'd like to do. It's not anything that is complicated. It's not something that is really out there. It's just, what do I want to do this year? What do I want to do next year? What do I want to do next month as well? So it's nothing complicated that way. So vision is you just thinking about what you'd like to do, your desires, your aspirations for the future. And it's as simple as that. So this morning, I'm going to be looking at this topic in three sections. I'm going to be looking at three sections this morning. The first is the introduction that I'm talking about. The second is we'll look at the story of a man or the story of a young boy who was driven by vision. Then lastly, we'll come to a conclusion in regards to the life of this young man. So the first thing I want to say this morning is this. Whether you realize it or not, your life is driven by vision. Whether you realize it or not, your life is driven by vision. And looking at the sources of vision, primarily speaking, your life can be driven by a number of types of vision, but I've picked three types of vision that drives the lives of people. Whether you realize it or not, you have a vision. And if you do not have a vision, someone has a vision for you. Do you understand what I mean? Okay, so what are the sources of vision? I've narrowed it down to three things. Popular culture can have vision for you. I'll explain what I mean in a minute by that. You can have your own personal vision for your own life, or you can have God's vision for your own life as well. So we're looking at popular culture, we're looking at vision arising from yourself, and we're looking at the vision that arises from God himself. So those are the three sources of vision that we'll be looking at over the course of this study. So the first part we're looking at is the story of this boy called, what the Bible refers to as the prodigal son. And I'm going to read from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 22. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 22. You can open your Bibles and follow me, or you can just listen as I read. So this is the story that the Bible refers to as the story of the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 22. Jesus continued, and there was a man who had, Jesus was saying a parable. He says, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the young son got together all he had and he set off to a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and I am here starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. So we see the story of a young man here who got up one day, had a vision for himself, went to his father, said, Father, give me my own share of the estate. The father gave him his own share. He went out and he blew everything. So I know when we look at the story sometimes, we look at it and say, okay, I can't imagine my son coming up to me and saying, Father or Dad, I want half of everything you have. That car outside, mine. This house, we're going to sell it. You're going to take your part, give the other part to the other person. I'm just wondering how the father must have felt about that. But that's not the topic for conversation this morning. This boy was driven. He had a vision. And his vision was that, look, there's a particular life that I want to live. And to achieve that lifestyle, I need cash. This is where I'm going to get the cash from. This is how I'm going to spend it. This is what I'm going to do with it. So this boy had vision. Serious vision. Now, Looking at this boy, I highlighted 5 things about this boy. And it is so interesting that it is these same things that drive people in whatever direction they want to go to as it relates to vision. So we see something about this boy. The first thing that we see is that he was passionate. He wasn't one of those people that woke up and just said, okay, it's 2024. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do. I think I'll just go with the flow. No, he was passionate. He set out a plan and he was passionate about it. Do you understand? The other thing I see about this boy was that he was bold. He was so bold that he had the audacity to go to his father and look his father in the face and say, Father, I want half of everything that belongs to me now. This guy was bold. The third thing I say about this boy was that he wanted his life to count for something. He didn't just want his life to be like, well, I lived in Bristol, I lived in South London, I lived in... He just didn't want his life to be a floating life where he just got up every day and just went about life with the gods wherever life took him. No. He wanted his life to count for something. He wanted to make a difference. He didn't just want to live the life of, well, I'll wake up and see how it goes kind of life. The fourth thing I say about this boy as well is that he took action. You know, there are times he took action. I remember that there's this gym that I've signed up to. Maybe I'll delete this part of the message when I finish. This gym that I signed up to, I think last year, and I tell you, I was like, I had a personal trainer for about a month. He said, these are the exercises that you're gonna be doing. These are the things, you know, and I said, yeah, and I was there. I bought all my gym kit, you know, trainers, shorts, and in the evenings, I'll bounce to the gym and do all those things. And I did it for a few months. I think the last time I went to the gym was July last year, you know. July last year, so they've been taking my money for the past 7 months. And I've been saying, look, next Monday I'm at the gym. This boy wasn't like that. He set his mind out to do something and he went for it. Do you understand what I mean? He went for it. He just didn't procrastinate. He didn't say, okay, I'll start next month. No, he took action and he did exactly what he set out to do. It's just like we have New Year resolutions, you know. I don't know if you guys have done yours, but I have a list that I want to follow this year. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. It's the 7th of January. I haven't started one of them, but when I get home today, I promise myself I am going to start following them. So this boy was driven and he took action. Do you understand what I mean? So this boy had serious qualities that helped him to fulfill the vision that he wanted. These are the qualities that we need to imbibe as well. To be passionate, to be bold, to take the bull by the horns and do what we say we'll do, and to take action. But the 5th point, which is the really unfortunate part, is this. Popular culture, which is the first source of vision I mentioned, sold him a vision that was empty. Popular culture, and when I say popular culture, I'm talking about just life generally. There is a vision that life sells to each and every one of us. That vision is, look, why are you just wasting time going to church every Sunday? It's not going to help you. Why don't you, you know, go out there, party hard, make things happen yourself. Go buy this, buy that. Focus on yourself. Focus on the things that will make you happy. You want that dress? Go for it. You want those shoes? Go for it. You want this? Go for it. And popular culture begins to sell us this vision that we can be like the celebrities that we see on Instagram. It's like, man, I like the way this person is looking. I like their car. I like this. I like that. I think that's what I want to do. And we pour ourselves into what popular culture tells us will make us happy to the exclusion of God sometimes. Or we just put God on the backside. So popular culture sold this vision to this boy. And I'm sure he must have had an interest. He must have had an interesting time. The Bible says that he spent all he had. So I suspect that this guy must have been a very popular guy in town. Maybe he would enter into the nightclubs and he'd be like, yeah, I'm here. Drinks on me. Hey, what do you want there? On me. So he was like the real hot guy in town. Do you understand? Maybe he had a Lamborghini. Well, I'm not saying those things are bad, by the way. If you want to buy one for me, you can buy one for me. I'm just saying that that was his focus. And this guy thought at some point, man, I'm glad I took half of the money of my dad. I'm really living large. I'm on Instagram. I'm selfing myself. Today it's Dubai. Tomorrow it's, give me the name of a country. You guys, it's really Bristol, you know. France. Yeah, France. Hey, bonjour. I'm here. Someone said Thailand there. This guy was Instagramming himself away, living large, in quote. So that was what popular culture sold to him. But we see that he got to the point where the reality of the vision that popular culture sold to him came around. And at the end of, well, not at the end, because it didn't end there. But along that journey, he got to a point that he realized that, man, popular culture has sold me a scam. It's all a scam. And he said to himself, how did I get here? How did I get here? Do you understand? How did I get here? Well, the answer to that question is, I know how he got there. He got there because the vision that he had for his life was one that culture sold to him. It was one that popular culture sold to him. That's how he got there. So what am I saying this morning? I'm saying that, look, as we enter 2024, I don't want it to be like one of these motivational speeches that we hear. It's like, yeah, beginning of the year, we can make it. You know, life might have bit. I was just going to say, let me just give you like 3 minutes of American preaching, like my brothers in America do it. Not that I'm making fun of anyone. I'll have asked Sister Tish to go on the keyboard now. Beginning of the year, I'll be giving you guys proper American preaching. So be like, life might have hit you down in 2023, but it doesn't matter. This is 2024. Everybody, can I hear an hallelujah there? Oh my goodness, you guys are too British. And can you guys give me a hallelujah there? Oh yeah, you're catching him. But that hallelujah is for 2023. Give me a 2024 hallelujah. You can make it. I'm going to move to America. You guys are not giving me the right vibes. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. God wants us to realize that as long as you're alive, whether you're conscious of it or not, you are living someone's vision. You're either living out the vision of what culture has sold you without you knowing it, or you might be living a vision that you have come to by yourself. Or the third one is to live the vision that God has for you as an individual. Do you understand? You will live out someone's vision. Unfortunately for this boy, he lived out the vision that popular culture sold to him. Now, the vision that popular culture sells to us sometimes is not always entirely bad. It's not always entirely bad where we spend everything we have on things that are irrelevant. No, it's not always bad, but it is always unfulfilling. That's the word. Always unfulfilling. Not necessarily bad, hear me, but at the end, it's always unfulfilling. You know, I'm very attentive to people's lives, and there's this place that I go to every month. We do like a hymn service there. It's a retirement home. And, you know, you have people there who are like, there's this lady that was 95 there. And we'll just, I'll do the hymn service and I'll sit with them and just hear their stories. I'll make tea, coffee. No coffee, just tea. And all those things, I'll just be listening. And one of the ladies will say, "Whoa, I was a truck driver." I was like, "You, truck driver?" Some of them were like, "Man, I flew in the RAF during the war. There was this gentleman, he was a pilot." All different walks of life. But one thing is this. For some of them, as sweet as they are, life sold them a vision that at the end they were not really pleased with. For this boy, he realized midway through his life that this vision that popular culture has sold me is not the right vision. But you don't want to wait till you're 95 before you realize that the vision that life has sold you is unfulfilling. This boy was quite fortunate that he snapped out of it. So what am I saying this morning? Like I said, I'm not giving us motivational speech for 2024. What I'm saying is that we need to be conscious that we will live out one vision or the other. But we can choose which vision it is. We can be conscious of the type and the source of the vision that we want to live. Vision of popular culture, your own vision, or God's vision. So I'm going to conclude with this boy's story, well, using this boy's story. So the first thing I looked at in the introduction was the fact that we have three sources of vision. Whether we realize it or not, we will live either popular culture's vision, your own personal vision, or God's vision. Second thing I looked at was the story of this boy that he went through life and he had all the qualities that you can use to achieve vision. But unfortunately for him, he was going down the vision that popular culture sold to him. So, in conclusion today, I just want to make a number of points for us to reflect on. So the first thing is this. You and I have to be intentional. We have to be intentional that we want to follow God's vision for our lives. And the key word there is intentional. Not only for our own lives, but for the lives of our children as well. We want to be intentional about the vision we have for our children. And you remember, I said vision is not a big fancy word. Vision is just you thinking about the future. Imagining what the future could be like. Imagining what kind of future you want for yourself. What kind of future you want for your children. That's what vision is. Just you imagining what you'd like to happen. So the first point in concluding is that we have to be intentional. That this year, we want to follow God's vision for our lives, which is good. And First John chapter 2, verse 16. This is the NCV version. It says, "There are ways of the world, wanting to please our sinful selves, wanting the sinful things we see, being too proud of what we have." It says, none of these things come from the Father, but they all come from the world. So this boy's vision was fueled by popular culture. And at the end, he realized that vision that he was following was very unfulfilling. I have a number of points here. The second point in concluding is this, which is the one I find a bit scary sometimes. So what really troubled me about this boy's life is that he was so passionate about what he was doing. He was so committed to what he was doing. He was so bold with regards to what he was doing. He put his whole soul into it. He was super excited. But he was going the wrong way. So it's possible that someone might think, look, at least I'm not a bad person. I'm not doing anything bad, so to speak. I'm doing what I want to do, and I think this is the way. But we want to be very, very sure that the way we are going is God's way. If you look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. So the second point in concluding is this. We have to look at the world, look at our lives through the filter of God's eyes so that we'll be super sure that the way we're going, the life that we're living, the things that we are aspiring to would lead us towards God. Do you understand? And the last thing I'm going to conclude today is this. We want to ask that God should give us the desire. I say desire here. To want to follow his vision for us. If you look at Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, he told Jeremiah, he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet. So the third point in concluding here is this. God isn't up there just looking at you from a distance and saying, try your best. Let's see how far you can go. God actually has a plan for us. God actually has a plan for us. And 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. So not only does God have a plan for us that is good, but God says he has provided everything we need to follow his life, to follow the life and the vision that he has for us. And again, what is vision? Vision is just, what do you want to see in the future happen to you? What do you want to see in the future happen to your children? What would you like to happen to your life? That's what vision is. Thinking about the future. But God doesn't want us to think about the future in isolation or apart from him. Do you understand what I mean? So I'm going to stop there this morning. So what I've looked at this morning is we've looked at vision. Well, the series is how did I get here? And the first point I made is that you will live vision. It might be your vision, popular culture's vision, or God's vision, but you will not live life in a vacuum. You cannot. it doesn't happen. You must be living someone's vision. That's the first thing. We looked at the story of this boy who was so passionate about his vision, but apparently life sold him the wrong vision. And he found out, very unfulfilling. And the last thing we looked at is the fact that, look, we need to be intentional. That God's vision for you, which is good, as it says in Jeremiah chapter 29, 11, and God's vision for your family is what we should be intentional about. So this morning, I'm just going to ask that we rise up and we pray. That we rise up and we pray. And it's a personal prayer for us. Like I said, this is not like a motivational, you can do it kind of message. But I just want us to commit our lives into God's hands this morning. So it's a conversation between you and God this morning. Say, look, God, I need your help. Because God wants to help you now. He doesn't want us just to go through life on our own. So this morning is like, God, I need your help. Every vision that I have, every plan that I have for the future, I submit it to you this morning. Lord, I'm asking that you will help me. Your word says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, that you know the plans that you have for me. Plans to give me a future. Plans to give me hope. So God is just asking me to mention to you this morning that he's available for you, to you. He wants you and I to go on the journey with him this year, not by ourselves.